What makes some people genuinely happy despite tremendous challenges, while others remain miserable despite having everything society says we should want? This question drove Arthur Brooks to completely change careers at age 55 to study happiness science. His collaboration with Oprah Winfrey reveals a profound truth. Happiness isn't something you're born with, it's something you build. The approach combines rigorous research with deeply human stories to create a roadmap anyone can follow. Most of us operate under two fundamental misconceptions: that complete happiness is achievable, and that our circumstances prevent us from attaining it. The liberating truth? Complete happiness is impossible. It's a direction, not a destination. This means no circumstance, positive or negative, determines our capacity to become happier. True happiness consists of three essential macronutrients: enjoyment, which differs from mere pleasure; satisfaction, fulfillment from accomplishing goals; and purpose, the element that gives life meaning. True happiness requires accepting unhappiness as part of life. All three happiness macronutrients contain elements of unhappiness. Enjoyment requires work, satisfaction demands sacrifice, and purpose often entails suffering. Modern research reveals that positive and negative emotions can coexist simultaneously. Happiness isn't simply the absence of unhappiness. We each possess a natural blend determined by character and circumstances, placing us into one of four categories: mad scientists, intensely reactive; judges, cool and composed; cheerleaders, celebrating good while minimizing bad; or poets, struggling with enjoyment but excelling at identifying threats. Negative emotions deserve our gratitude. They keep us alive through the brain's dedicated threat processing centers. This negativity bias exists because dangers typically harm us more than opportunities help us. Negative feelings also drive learning and problem-solving. Sadness and anger motivate us to fix issues. Composers like Beethoven were most productive during periods of sadness, with increased sadness leading to greater creative output because it activates brain regions, enabling intense focus on complex problems. Viktor Frankl discovered a profound truth amid unimaginable suffering in Nazi concentration camps. While we cannot choose our circumstances or initial emotional reactions, we retain the last of human freedoms, choosing our attitude toward those circumstances. This insight forms the foundation of metacognition, consciously experiencing emotions while separating them from behaviors. Our brain processes emotions through three crucial functions: detecting environmental stimuli, emotional reaction through the limbic system, and conscious decision-making through the prefrontal cortex. Metacognition means moving emotional experiences from your limbic system to your prefrontal cortex, like refining crude oil into usable fuel. When you lash out in anger and later regret it, you failed to be metacognitive. Everyone faces unwanted life conditions. Sometimes we can change our circumstances, but often we can't. Metacognition creates space between conditions and your response to them. In this space lies freedom. You can choose to change your reaction rather than your reality. To develop this skill, try four approaches: observe emotions as if happening to someone else, journal your feelings, maintain positive memories to interrupt negative feedback loops, and find meaning in difficult experiences. Just as caffeine blocks drowsiness by occupying adenosine receptors, we can substitute better emotions for less helpful ones. Gratitude is one powerful substitute, not a passive response, but an active practice that occupies negative emotion receptors with positive feelings. Research shows gratitude stimulates the brain's reward circuit, improves health indicators, strengthens relationships, and fosters virtues like generosity. People who practiced gratitude for 10 weeks reported 25% higher life satisfaction. Humor functions similarly, blocking negative feelings. Seniors receiving humor therapy reported feeling 42% happier, with decreased pain and loneliness. Regular exposure to humor reduces stress hormones by up to 39% and boosts immune function by 40%. Pessimism causes avoidance and passive behavior when facing challenges. Hope differs from optimism. While optimism expects positive outcomes generally, hope involves personal agency and conviction that one can improve things despite circumstances. Research shows hope is more powerful. It's linked to 28% greater workplace success and 44% better health outcomes. When others' negative emotions affect you, compassion offers a better approach than empathy alone. Recognizing suffering, understanding it, feeling empathy, but also acting to alleviate it. Research shows that focusing on others creates more happiness than self-care. In one study, those performing moral deeds for others reported greater well-being, purpose, and control than those focused on themselves. Philosopher William James noted, "We have two selves, the I-self, observer, and me-self, observed. Excessive time in the me-self state leads to anxiety, depression, and poor performance. To shift focus outward, avoid mirrors and social media, reduce judgmental thinking, and practice objective observation. While caring about others is healthy, worrying about others' opinions is destructive. Though we're evolutionarily wired to fear social rejection, remember that people think about you less than you imagine. Envy triggers physical pain responses in the brain. Combat it by seeing the ordinary in enviable lives, unfollowing triggering content, and embracing authentic vulnerability." Angela's paradox captures family life perfectly. She's happiest and unhappiest when with her family. Research shows most people consider family their biggest source of meaning, yet family conflicts can be deeply upsetting. Rather than pursuing an unrealistic, happy family ideal, we must recognize that real families involve conflict, tension, and crisis. Family conflict typically stems from misaligned expectations between members. Parents value shared love, while children focus on exchanges of assistance. Fathers report higher involvement than children perceive, and children believe they help more than parents recognize. Despite our natural tendency toward homophily, seeking similarity, successful relationships require complementarity, differences that round out each other's personalities. Studies reveal that while people claim to want partners like themselves, they actually pursue relationships with those who differ from them. While healthy families aren't conflict-averse, chronic negativity can poison family dynamics. Emotional contagion, the spreading of moods between people, happens through conversations, facial expressions, and even physiological responses, with unhappiness spreading faster than happiness. Unresolved family conflicts resemble a monkey trap, where we refuse to let go of grievances to gain freedom. Research identifies four effective forgiveness strategies: discussion for severe transgressions, explicit forgiveness, moderate issues, nonverbal forgiveness, showing affection after conflict, and minimization, disregarding minor issues. Amazing Grace composer John Newton's transformation from slave trader to abolitionist exemplifies the power of transcendent experiences. While religious people rarely pursue spirituality for happiness alone, these experiences offer neurological benefits, reducing overthinking while calming fear and pain centers in the brain. Our monkey mind typically oscillates between past and future, but meditation and prayer cultivate mindfulness, which research shows reduces depression, anxiety, and improves cognitive function. Teaching happiness to others deepens our own understanding through the protege effect, as explaining concepts activates multiple neural pathways. Personal struggles add authenticity to teaching, while the foundation remains love, not just emotion, but an active commitment to goodwill that becomes habitual through practice, gradually rewiring our neural pathways toward compassion.